And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio, plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Andrew Schlecht.
And I am Alex Spears.
And you can join us every Saturday on the Athletic NBA show for the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
We will bring you the most interesting plots and storylines from the playoffs, fun guests, and a weekly trivia show where I attempt to completely embarrass my co-host, Andrew.
So grab your coffee, do your chores, and turn up the Saturday Slammin' Jam right here on the Athletic NBA show.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA show for Nerder She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerder She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA show.
Every Thursday morning, after a long night of Wednesday playoff action, just waiting for you in your podcast feeds as you wake up, it's Point of Contention.
On the Athletic NBA show as a part of the Athletic Podcast Network, it's myself, Zach Harper,
teeing up the toughest topics and questions to Marcus Thompson and Ethan Sherwood Strauss with Jade Hoy producing.
Every Thursday,
subscribe
to the Athletic NBA show.
Point of Contention.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some of the craziest and most hard-hitting theories and takes of playoff action possible.
And you'll get Point of Contention right in your eardrums. In fact, if you don't like it, we'll have a Point of Contention for you
right here on The Athletic.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA show Monday through Friday
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Booker the drive, gets inside, leans in. Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul. And a pinnacle ball throws it down. And a foul. Giannis on the alley-oop.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang.
With Zach Harper and your favorite Athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Jade Hoy producing. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Dave DeFore. We got Jay King. We got James Edwards III. And I think we got the last podcast, or at least for the Basket Buds edition of the 2020-2021 season, because we're recording this Sunday morning. It's after an incredibly fun Game 5 victory by the Milwaukee Bucks over the Phoenix Suns. It's 3-2 now, and last game maybe on Tuesday. I think that's when Game 6 is, and then I think we're done before that Sunday. There's no way they're going to delay this out unless, you know, everybody goes into health and safety protocol and we can't figure out the rest of this series. But what an unbelievable game Saturday night. I just want to give everybody a chance here
to apologize to Drew Holiday. Y'all made your little Eric Bledsoe jokes. You guys made your dumb little tweets about it. Like, oh, is he really worth the picks? And what does he do in the biggest stage of the biggest game of his career? He balls out. He shoots over 60% from the field, or maybe it was 60 exactly. He hits big shot after big shot. He's grabbing rebounds. He's ripping the ball out of Devin Booker's hands. He's tossing game-clinching lobs to Giannis.
JK. That was a horrible decision, by the way.
No, are you kidding me? No, it's not a horrible decision. It's a sure 2 points. It's a sure 2 points. Decision.
That could have gone wrong in so many ways. Now, granted, it ended up working out, and it ended up being one of the most memorable plays probably of all time. However, like, dribble it out.
No.
Take your two free throws.
You might get an extra 2 seconds at that point. An extra 2 seconds.
I disagree. Because they were struggling at the line. They were gassed. They didn't really have any offense working for them. Mm-hmm. I'm not dealing with Giannis at the line because he couldn't make it. He couldn't throw a rock in the ocean, bro.
But Giannis wasn't going to be the one at the line. It would have been Drew.
And then is the high IQ of seeing Chris Paul. What Chris Paul going to do besides hurt him? That was the only thing. Chris Paul could hurt him in that play, which he actually tried to. He tried to push him. And Giannis, you know, just high feet. Nobody catching that. I don't care if that was
That was
you can put anybody right there. Yeah, it was nobody's catching him.
Such a smart decision. Like, he's alone by himself.
It's spirit of the game, man. That's why it was awesome. Because dribbling out the clock and waiting to get fouled is coward basketball.
Yes, and they were already playing coward basketball for the previous like 4 minutes as they're trying to run out that clock. Yeah.
Well,
like,
that is true. They were they were very, very much
they reverted to dumb bucks real quick.
Taking way too much time to get into their offense, trying to play hero ball for the final 4 minutes just because they were trying to milk the clock. They got way, way, way too far away from aggressive for the last 5 minutes. So... Mm-hmm. Drew, I guess he went the other way on the final possession. It was an incredible play. It was an incredible pass. It was an incredible dunk. You could almost see Chris Paul like realize while the ball was in the air, like, damn,
it's like, over.
This is my finals chance, and this might be the end of it. And there was some violence in that push on Giannis.
Did you see Julius Hodges' tweet?
Yes.
No, I did not.
He's been fantastic the whole finals.
Like old,
every
like Julius
shot.
Hodges.
Yes.
Julius
like North
Hodges,
Carolina
NC
State
fame. Yes. He tweeted, this dude just can't help himself. And it's a picture of the push.
Oh, that was him? Yes. I saw that. I didn't know that was Julius Hodges.
Julius Hodge, man. At follow 24 Hodge.
I'm going to have to hit that follow.
He still holds a grudge all these years later. That's incredible.
Hey, man. You get hit in the balls, like,
and let's be real, like, he has not had any time, any moment to crow about Chris Paul, because Chris Paul has had this incredible career, and Julius Hodge washed out quickly, but now is his time. It's his time.
he's coaching right now and on the collegiate level at San Jose State, but also very timely, and he takes his jabs, but that was like a chef's kiss for him.
Also, we're not gonna knock the guy who was getting punched in the nuts, right? No. Like, I think that,
that
listen,
does feel like a Jay King move, though.
Yeah, Jay, if you punch me in the nuts in a pickup game, I reserve the right to just make fun of you whenever I feel like it. I think that I deserved it.
I got punched in the nuts one time in a high school game.
Who did it? Who
it
did
was
it?
This dude. He went to Manhattan.
No, wait. He went to Manhattan. That's the wrong question, Dave.
Okay.
Why did it happen? What did you do?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
No, I did nothing. I went to set a screen, and it happened twice. The first time, I kind of thought it was an accident. The second time, this dude was like 6'8", 230, D1 talent, like went and played at Manhattan, and he punched me in my nuts twice. The second time, I ran at the ref, and it was like a dead quiet gym. It was prep school. So we played on Wednesdays at like 3:30, and nobody was ever there. And I screamed in a dead quiet gym. My two parents were there, and I screamed at the ref, "He punched me in my fucking nuts." And in retrospect, I should have gone after him. No matter how big he was, but I was too soft for that. He was going to pummel me if I went after him.
Yeah,
you got like nine brothers in the stands, like waiting to jump in and fight this Western Mass like crew.
Western Mass in the house.
Man, that was tough. But if he was in the NBA Finals and did something dirty, I would tweet about it too.
There you go.
Shout out to Julius Hodge. That's how you open up a podcast.
Hey, listen, guys. Giannis iced this game from the free throw line. I don't know if y'all noticed. He had that, legally, that beautiful tap back. And it just iced the game.
Like DeMarcus Cousins couldn't. Right? Like,
right?
That's how you want to miss.
That's it.
He even got hit, too. Like, Booker got in there kind of quick and, like, brushed his hip. If you go back and watch it, it looked very uncomfortable.
Well, the decision to give Booker foul immunity at the end of every game is a wild one. I think it makes the finals more entertaining, and this is great. But, yeah, you're right. Like, Booker was physical at the end. I mean, was it Jay Crowder, I think, was, like, almost up underneath him? Yep. Not like he did anything dangerous, but just going for the ball. And, I mean, that was a contested tip back. I don't even know how he knew Chris was in that spot.
I legitimately thought as he started to tip it back, like, Chris Paul looks up, and I thought CP was gonna jump back, like, seeing where the tip was going and go for it, and he didn't, but he looks up and, like, watches him start to tip, and I legitimately just saw this playing out in my head of, like, oh, he's gonna go grab that, go down the other end, and they're gonna hit a three, and we're gonna go to overtime.
I thought we were gonna have a moment. Or at least have that conversation where it's like, Giannis easily could have.
Hold on. We're going to have what moment?
Oh, I'm sorry. A 2-5 moment. There we go. I apologize.
Jay, bleep that.
where Giannis easily and probably should have just grabbed the ball. And I'm imagining in my brain that he understood that he did not want the ball and just hope somebody. I mean, maybe he did see him. But it looked like to me a guy who just did not want to get fouled again.
Oh,
that could have gone the other way, too.
Yeah,
because he tapped it toward the other bucket.
Yeah, he was by himself when he shouldn't have grabbed it.
He was way high in the air, right? There was no one else up there.
Here's the thing. They lose that game. I don't care how many points Giannis score. We're talking about that.
Yep. Yeah, for sure, because he was 4-for-11 from the free throw line. I hadn't thought about that. I just kind of thought, like, loose ball, he's going to tap it. But, James, that's a great point. Like,
He didn't even think about grabbing it.
He didn't even think about grabbing that thing.
Yeah,
I was thinking about. I woke up thinking about how
he was thinking about the present.
How PJ Tucker
thinking about the future. I don't want to shoot
He was very present on walling up on Booker on that play because normally he rises up and takes that jumper.
Yeah,
and you know he got some help from there and from Giannis, and then that slowed him down. And the fact that you know once Booker got so deep, he couldn't make a play. Drew had the offense, you know, had the defensive awareness to go over and kind of thugging and take the ball. And like, that was one of the big plays of why he's so, I don't like to use the term underrated because he's been an all-star before. And, but the value of a defensive player sometimes,
that's what
you know
separates
what I mean?
Him. Right. Yeah. That's what separates him.
And that's what separates him so much because again, I think Booker tried to do a move on him. He stole it and he came out and hit a 3-2 in the game. When he was, you know what I mean? So he's been very effective, and it's very rare that we see defensive wins.
And we've seen it twice,
And we've seen it multiple times from him. And, you know, obviously he hasn't been playing his best basketball offensively, but that's what he brings to the table. You know what I mean? And I don't think that a Bledsoe could do that. I don't think a Brogdon could do that. I think they were decent defenders, but what Drew brings to the table, he doesn't back down. You can give him all your moves.
Yeah.
He's going to aggressively attack you.
And then to be able to do it while down one or while up one without fouling.
Yeah.
Like the
traps
the,
for hands, man.
The
like
quickness
just,
of his
like,
hands, the strength of his hands to rip it away without fouling. It was like, that's just an incredible, incredible steal given you the time and circumstance. The Bucks were falling apart.
Yeah.
Like the last 2-3 minutes, whatever it was.
Terrible shots.
They were waiting till the end of the shot clock every single time. Booker was hitting some, like that three he hit curling around the screen outrageous.
Yo, dirty.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And so it's like when you put the context of Holiday's steal into everything, it just makes it look even better.
Yeah. And just the oh fuck on Devin's face when he turned around.
Yeah.
Like it's just so noticeable. Like he turns and he like sees Drew and he it's just it all just kind of sunk and you can kind of see it. And then yeah, two games in a row where defense, I mean, I would think we all would agree that the Giannis block was kind of the shift late in game four.
Yeah, four.
Phenomenal. And Milwaukee, I'd like, you got my memory's bad, and this could just be in the moment talk, but is there a bigger balls grabbing moment than these Milwaukee Bucks have had these finals? Like, just absolute to go on the road like that after how they started, not miss. Fizzle down the stretch, still come like it was just a. It's been an entire just like, I'm grabbing my balls, I'm grabbing my shit moment from the Bucks, and like I can't remember a team like that.
Wait, what?
What kind
just
of
like
moment?
The Sam Cassell, like it's just okay. been a oh, constant got loop
you.
Of that.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going with that. Got you. Yeah, see, you mean like a big balls dance moment?
Yeah, like a big balls got dance. You. Okay, it's been on loop, just the big balls dance going back to the Nets series.
Yeah.
I can't think of a team that's done that.
We'll clean like that up in post. Jade, leave all that in. I'm with you. Well, that's a fun. Like, I've got this freeze frame of the play right here, and Book has picked up his dribble, and I think he's looking to see if he can dump it down to DeAndre Ayton because Giannis is up on him, and it's such a tight window. And then as he turns, like Chris Paul, like Drew leaves Chris Paul. Chris Paul is wide open.
Yeah,
like it is a high risk, high reward move there. But I think he just knows that it reminds me of Andre Iguodala after he stripped Dame at the end of that game, right? In the playoffs a couple years ago, where he just runs back in the tunnel. He's like, these motherfuckers are crazy. Like talking about his hands. Like that's what Drew has to feel, right? Like these things have a mind of their own. Like he just goes in there, he rips it from him. Like that's a play where we're always just like, only Kawhi can do that. Right. Only Kawhi just rips the ball from a player, and not just a player, like a star like that in that moment. And Drew just took it from him, leaving Chris Paul wide open. It's just a hell of a play.
Yeah, this Bucks team. I should have realized it after they closed out the Nets, but they're definitely built for this. And I think last night was kind of like, I mean, it's so easy to say like tied series, you win on the road, but, I guess maybe we should have seen signs of that prior to last night.
The mental toughness is just so impressive.
Yeah.
Like, that first quarter they took from Phoenix, it was just as much of a haymaker as you can throw. Phoenix was like, what? They started 14 of 18 or something?
Something like
they
that.
Made the they made their first 10 shots.
And they were just like, they were playing with so much pace and so much force.
Yeah, and Jeff T came in. That was a nightmare.
Because Drew picked up
too,
right?
You got to thank the Miami Heat too, though, for battle testing them. They've been through so much, and this team is definitely a veteran team. Like you know, at this point, they can respond at the most things thrown at them versus this young first time Phoenix Suns. You know what I mean? Like the most appearances is Jay Crowder, yo. He's not the best basketball player on their team, but he's the most experienced. And like, you know, they're going to make those, they're going to have those hiccups. And obviously Book has been playing out his mind. And, you know, Chris Paul, whether he's, you know, playing himself, playing and like thinking too much in his head, trying to win finals MVP instead of, you know, trying to get the win. I don't know. I don't even really know how to gauge it, but like them dropping that game at home should be the end of this series. Like that was their one chance to push it. Now, I just don't see Milwaukee giving it up at home.
Agreed. However.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's mostly probably we should have our medical director come and speak to you. You guys got the bum, the coach to talk to you. So, you know, I think, it's a lot of this is happening in real time. And I think it'd just be best to leave it. He's questionable. And Giannis is going to do everything he can to be available. You know, we're going to put his health and safety first. And,
action explosion!
You know, together make good decisions.
Action change!
Happily take
the medical director.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's running to the car and unavailable.
James!
Name?
Cut!
We got one shot at this.
It's still the Bucks until they're no longer the Bucks, right? Like there is part of me where I was doing the pregame show with Amin yesterday on NBA radio, and so I actually like I kind of nailed this game shockingly. Like finally got one right, but I was like I think Bucks win this game. I think Drew Holiday has a huge game, right? And then that happens. But I said, I still think maybe Suns in seven at this point, because wouldn't you see Milwaukee like going back? Because as Milwaukee, it's weird. They showed resiliency here, but at the same time, like they were pissing down their own leg in this fourth quarter down the stretch.
Yeah.
Like it's such a weird, like it's so conflicting, because I look at that, I'm like, damn, like what an incredible way to just shake off that bad stretch of down the final minutes, and they're giving this game back to Phoenix. And if, you know, Devin Booker is able to make that pass to Chris Paul and he hits that shot, what are we talking about, right? Like, oh my God, the Bucks, like how did they let that one go? How did they play so horribly in the fourth quarter? How did they let Phoenix just take that? That was their game and everything. But Drew Holiday makes a steal, they get the lob, they get the free throw tap, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, Bucks, one win away from the championship, which is, it's all true, but there's so many conflicting like storylines from last night's game.
And we've talked about it. Sorry, Jay. We've talked about it before with this Bucks team. It's very much a team that acts like they've done it before. And it like costs them, whether it's starting series slow when they're favored, mm-hmm. or like we saw last night when they got a little bit comfortable reverting back to just dumbass shots when Giannis hits a couple jumpers to start. So he's like, I'm going to shoot some fadeaways in the fourth quarter. And then it's a team that, like I said, like when they feel comfortable or they feel like they're favored, they kind of let off the gas. But when their back's up against the wall is when you see the best of the Bucks. So it's a very much, you could see a world in which they feel comfortable right now. And that costs them in game six.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Dude, This whole run, they just haven't made it easy on themselves.
Never. No.
Right. Like, that's why I don't think game six is like, oh yeah, they're definitely taking this. I could see them winning game seven in Phoenix and closing this out in a dramatic way, but I don't, like, they don't make it easy on themselves. And so like, yeah, why would I believe they're going to win in game six?
That was also why the second and third quarter felt so weird.
Right.
It was like, man, these dudes are playing perfect basketball. Yeah. Drew Holiday is hitting everything.
But hold on,
Chris
guys.
Middleton is hitting ridiculous shots. Like the shot making for them was special.
The Suns also shot the lights out, though. That's the thing. It's like the Suns had like a 128 offensive rating in that game.
Right.
But you don't. So the Bucks scored a lot. I mean, or they were scoring well. But, I mean, they withstood the Suns hitting every shot.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting about that, Dave, is I actually think the Bucks defense was good. Even though they shot 68% from three.
I thought
the
Suns was pretty good, too.
Shots they took.
Yeah, but they only gave up 19 threes, right? Like, the Suns didn't get looks from deep.
Two corner threes in the whole game, yeah. Zach.
Like, that's right. That's
and then
really
if you go back
defense.
And look at games three and four. See, this is why drop coverage still exists, man. Because if you can con these teams into taking that contested mid-range, it's not gonna hit every night. I don't care who you are. And on the nights that it's not hitting, guess what? You're also not getting pressure on the basket, which means you're not getting those open looks in the corner. It means Mikal Bridges isn't getting the corner three looks that he was used to, where he's attacking the closeout and getting to that mid-range pull-up that's open now. Those shots just aren't there. And I think the Suns are, like, they're crossing back into the middle too much, which if you guys look at any of Mo's game threads, he talks about it a lot in their pick-and-roll stuff. But the truth is they're not getting good looks. They're getting contested mid-range shots. And hey, man, maybe the Suns hit enough of them in the next two games to win this thing. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing this play where Drew takes the ball from Booker, and Booker Booker looks like he woke up in a Saw movie.
He knows,
like,
that's
when he turns, like he looks like oh shit, I want to play a game. Like this is not what I signed up for. Where am I? Like.
It just all hits him at once. Yeah, he realizes who it is.
What
he
a terrifying
feels the
moment.
Ball, the hands yeah. on the ball. It's over.
Yeah, and there's just like there's nothing you could do.
That play was so such street ballish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what yeah. I mean? Like you're waiting on the ref to blow the whistle or somebody to say what do they say first?
First, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That shit, I and, hate.
And it never happened. It was just Drew being that stronger, yeah. older dude. That just said, just ripped yeah. it.
Hey, Trey, this is why you should not fight double teams in a summer game. You know, don't complain about double teams.
You did not just bring that up.
Yeah. Yo, if Devin's at the park, he's definitely yelling up top as soon as Drew reaches in. He's that's like, up right. top, bro.
Shoot for it.
Yeah, shoot for it.
Shoot for it.
So this is something else I've noticed in the last two games, and I'm curious what you guys think about this. Dave, with the Suns, like I feel like we've finally seen their youth, right? At the worst right. time. Because game like down the stretch of game four, it's so funny to like criticize Devin Booker in game four because he had 42 points. But in the fourth quarter, as you could tell, it was starting to like slip away from the Suns a little bit. I felt like he really pressed. He really pressed and tried to rush some things and wasn't in that same rhythm that we saw in the third quarter. And maybe that was the foul trouble or maybe it's just a moment or whatever. I don't know. And then throughout this game, when things were like that second and third quarter, like you guys mentioned, where the Bucks are playing perfect basketball, I felt like maybe a more veteran team's able to kind of like slow things down. And I felt like the Bucks just kept speeding them up and it was like almost like an avalanche.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
In particular, Booker is getting sped up, right? I mean, he had 42% usage.
Yeah, that hadn't happened the entire playoffs. Like, I've been so impressed. Like, even when he's not shooting well, like, he's going at his own speed.
But they're speeding him up into decisions where he's becoming a black hole. Like, his potential assists are way down. We talked about this on the ding today. Seth Partnow came on, and he actually brought this up. You know, he's like, do you like the 42 or would you rather have 35 with seven assists? I think I'd rather have the 35 with seven assists because you're going to get more points, but it also means your offense is functioning better. You know, one guy hitting tough shots is, I mean, we allowed that, right? Like we're like, that's awesome from Devin Booker, but you need more from your main guy. I mean, it's
to win
games.
They shot 55% from the field.
I know.
You can get on him if you want for that, but their offense was great. It had nothing to do with the offense. It was like Drew Holiday hit a ton of tough shots. Chris Middleton hit a ton of tough shots. Giannis is going to get his 30 no matter what. I just think the defense needs to be a little bit better, needs to force Middleton and Holiday to be more uncomfortable. Like, this, that wasn't on Booker. Booker was incredible.
I'm not saying it. I mean, they're not in the game if Booker isn't incredible. But what I mean is, for the team, maybe it is better if Booker is 35-7 instead of 42-3. Right? It means your offense is working.
I'm just trying
better.
To see where he gonna get that seven from, Dave. Because them campaign minutes was like, cool story, but I'm getting force fed campaign. I'm not loving that too much. You know what I mean? Even though Chris Paul has kind of been inconsistent, game three and four and
Jay was and quiet last night. He's been solid all season.
Oh, Jay's been out there just night. Tony Snell vibes.
Yeah, he was invisible last night.
I think Dave brings up an interesting point, because I do feel like, look, he is cooking them, right? He is, and a lot of that offense is generating really good stuff. And you guys make a good counter argument, like, look, it's probably the defense here. Their offense looks really good, but I do think there's something to, they're just so much harder to defend, right? When that ball is moving, these guys are moving, and so it's not that Booker's hurting them by doing this, but I do think there's a level of stagnation there that isn't getting guys in foul trouble. It isn't getting guys to the free throw line, where if you have the ball moving and now you have the defense recovering, then at some point they're going to be out of position, right? So, like, you're still scoring, but maybe you're scoring in a better way. I don't know.
Think about that, those first two games, and how much we talked about the Bucks being in rotation on defense, right? Like, rotation is death. And there was that one sequence where there was like 11 passes. The Bucks are exhausted at the end of it. They tipped it twice and all these other things. That's not happening anymore. It's not happening. The Bucks are not getting worn down. The Bucks are able to play bigger because the Suns are not getting, they're not letting the ball do the work for them. They're not getting system buckets anymore. Every bucket is a tough one.
I agree with that, especially late, but I did think, and maybe, again, my memory's bad and maybe somebody will correct me here, it felt like when they made that run in the mid-fourth when the Bucks were doing bad shots, that the ball movement was really good. Like, I remember the one where Chris hit the three. Like, three or four sequences, I think, that even Devin's off the move. Like, there was a bunch of buckets off the catch, but then when it kind of got kind of buck clinching time, they reverted back to it. But I thought for that spurt, that's how they got back into the game. Like, the ball movement was really good. I think Devin even, I don't know if he did some hockey assists in there, but they definitely got away from it when it got a little tight again. But I did think there was a stretch there, and that Chris Paul three comes to mind. And I think there was one or two more, maybe Bridges hit a pull up where they got back to it, but then went quickly right away from it.
Yeah, I think so. I just pulled up his last two games. So it's fun. I mean, he scored 82 points on 55% shooting, right? Like, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
But he also has more turnovers than assists. And so, he's scored 82 points. Well, like,
weren't they plus 12 in his minutes?
We're splitting hairs.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, and we're splitting hairs.
Plus 12 in his minutes.
So game four, it was an even zero, right? Like, no plus, no minus. And then they're plus 12 in his minutes. I mean, that's the thing, is that stretch in the second quarter, maybe Monty should have gone back to him earlier, because, I mean, the Bucks outscored the Suns something like 25-12, and Giannis wasn't on the court, right? And Booker wasn't on the court at that point either, because if you look at last night's box score with the plus, like, Giannis is a minus for that game, where he was significantly for a long time, and at least, and it's because the Bucks came back without him on the floor in the second quarter. And so, yeah, you're probably right. Like, it's nitpicking here, especially for a dude who scored 82 points on 55% shooting. But I think it's more like the process of it all, right? Like, the results are good, but the process of it maybe puts the Bucks at a different disadvantage. And I don't know, maybe that leans to, like, more consistent play throughout the game. I don't know.
We know this, man. It's a team sport, right? Like, your team offense is just, you're better off if your team has good offense than if one guy is just cooking. It becomes a math issue at that point.
On the other side, Giannis, zero turnovers. Nobody's going to talk about that, because
passing has been fantastic.
Insane.
I've been critical of his passing. But the last two games, like, this is the guy that people have pretended Giannis is as a passer. Like, this is...
He had a cross-court pass that looked like LeBron.
Yeah, no, he's been stealing the last two games.
And it's not even the fact that he's finding open teammates. It's how early he's committing to finding that pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not waiting for the defense to fully collapse. Like he's waiting for that moment where somebody flashes open. And that's the difference to me. Like he used to get in trouble and charge over people, and he used to get too deep in the lane and overcommit to his drives. Yeah. We haven't seen any of that.
And there's a willingness to take a back seat. Yeah. I mean, there was like two instances late in the game where he's like, he has the ball and somebody's trying to get it and he's pointing to Chris. It's like, come get it. And he's looking for Chris. He's looking for Drew. And that's, I don't think we've talked about it before with Giannis's bad shots. I think part of that was how a superstar in his mind's supposed to act. And he's just getting it, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy kind of mentally be able to transform like that in the middle of high stakes situations, and again, maybe it's happened in recent history, but just what he's done this playoffs is absolutely insane from a mental standpoint, I think, more so than a production standpoint.
What's going on with his like wind or whatever? Because he has moments where he's just like early in games, like early in halves, when he's like looks like he can barely breathe.
Sam in the middle.
2-4, Giannis. First of all, what you were dealing with when you first came in, is it cramping? Is it something else?
Yeah, I was a little bit dehydrated. A little bit dehydrated, man. I'm a softy, you know, but it's okay.
Well, you got me hungry now. The burgers sound good.
Yeah, with some French fries, huh? French fries.
Right. We know where to go. We'll meet you there. A lot of the mental stuff you talked about yesterday, it seemed like it was coming to fruition in the later moments of this game. So you list 2 free throws with a minute to go, and Monty ices you.
Critical free throws here. It's been the one glaring weakness throughout his career. Right now, the 2 most important free throws.
Jay Crowder bumps you on the way to the line. Chris Paul seemed like he tried to get at you a little bit.
I love it.
So they're trying to get under your skin, but you obviously can't disengage, because seconds later, Drew's trying to find you above the rim, you know, for the play of the game. Is that a lot of what you talked about yesterday?
Yeah, it's been the moment. You know, not gonna lie, you know, I'm always real. You know, I feel like that's what makes me who I am. I'm always real. Sometimes I go to the, you know, free throw line, and I'm nervous a little bit, you know. But this time I wasn't nervous at all, because I was so much dialed in. I just missed, you know. But I'm happy with it. Like I live with it, because I shot my routine. I did exactly what I always do, and I just missed.
Coaching staff doing a good job alerting the officials to not mistake. I want to know who Money Man is right there with $100 bills count. All right.
Players go inside, the crowd going yell, but just got to keep playing through that. Got to keep playing. Keep your composure. Just keep trying to do whatever is possible to help the team.
What's going on with his like wind or whatever? He has moments where he's just like early in games, like early in halves, when he's like looks like he can barely breathe.
Yeah, Van Gundy kept bringing it up last night in the first half. Like he was like barely crossing half court for a couple of possessions there.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a combination of amped up nerves and I mean, again, he hasn't played this long ever. None of these guys.
It might just be cholesterol. He lives in a cheese state, you know? Like, yeah, he's in great shape.
Yeah, he's talking about burgers after the game.
Too many curds.
Yeah.
Now, listen, we knock Bud for not playing him a long time, but maybe that's why. Maybe this is why, right? Like, maybe that there is kind of an upper limit for Giannis at the, you know, at the effort level that he plays at, and in particular at the finals. I mean, with that being said, I thought down the stretch, I mean, he looked tired when he got that tip out.
If
he wants to take his time getting up court, I think we've seen more egregious examples. Yeah. At least it's on the offensive end that he's taking his time getting up the court on.
Yep.
But yeah, it is weird to see Jay. Like we're not used to seeing it, and I wonder if he's just going all out on every defensive possession, and that's why.
And then apparently he like went to his press conference, but then had to leave and had cramps.
Yeah, like I just can't. I imagine that this dude's just absolutely gassed, man. Like I think you're seeing it with Chris Paul too. Like, yeah, Chris Paul's played a long time. He ain't ever played this far. And I think Giannis is. I mean, yeah, he's done a lot. Do we talk about Bud? Do we give Bud praise, or are we still not there yet?
It's Budenholzer season.
Yeah, I mean,
Budenholzer season.
You know, I think it's mostly probably we should have our medical director come and speak to you. You guys got the bomb coach to talk to you. So,
it's Budenholzer season.
It's a lot of this is happening in real time.
I think Bud has been mostly fine, right? He's been mostly fine.
He put in a big lineup he's never played before for one possession last night. It went horribly wrong, and he's like, all right, Drew, get your ass in there. We're not doing this.
At least he didn't go back to team.
You're right. Yeah, he didn't go for major minutes there. That's interesting. So Amin and I were talking about this yesterday on Saturday. And so I think Giannis at this point, no matter what happens the rest of this series, Giannis has risen above criticism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can thoughtfully
don't say that yet.
Wait till game seven happens. I think
if a game seven.
Wow, Jay King guaranteeing Suns winning game six. no, I do think like based on how he's responded throughout the playoffs and how he's responded, like he damn near blew out his knee 2.5 weeks ago, right?
Seriously.
Like that, and he's responded by playing like this. Like game four was probably the best game of his career. Just mm-hmm. overall, defensively, passing the ball, the way he was scoring and everything. Like, it might have been the best game of his career. And then last night, he's phenomenal just in huge stretches as he's clearly gassed. Like, I do think, like, he's above the criticism. So then if the Bucks blow this, it's scapegoat season. And Budenholzer is obviously going to be the top of those power rankings. And then Middleton probably gets, or maybe if Drew has more bad games, maybe this game wasn't enough to absolve it. But I do think regardless of what happens the rest of the series, Giannis is like slander proof.
Also, if one or two games changes your opinion on a player, I don't put any value in your opinion. So, you know, I think that, he is slander proof. This has been an all-time finals run. His playoff run has been absolutely absurd. And then you mentioned where, you know, his knee bent the wrong way, and we all probably felt that in our chest, right, when we watched it. I mean, it was disgusting to watch, and this guy's out there with 40 point games like it's nothing. And so, you know, this has been a hell of a run. The bag stuff I think is stopped at this point. I haven't seen anybody mention the fact that he dribbles, you know, in front of his body.
He did a little bit last night, a little bit more than he had been doing, but for the most part, I'm with you. Like, I think that's kind of gone away. Like,
guy started playing basketball when he was 13 years old.
No, I'm with you. Are we at the point now, and a little bit of a tangent, are we at the point now if we had to pick a guy from here on out to like fantasy draft 2K, you have the number one pick, is it Giannis?
No, I don't need a shooter, man. Are you kidding me?
Like, so you're going Luka?
Listen, man, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic.
I'm still going KD, man.
Yeah, you give me KD, man. I'll take KD right now.
If I can dunk and shoot from anywhere, dunk and shoot from anywhere at that height, and I can block shots.
Yeah. I'm not saying I would. I agree. Even though if we're thinking 10 years down the line, it's still KD.
Well, 10 years. I mean,
nah,
10 years. Giannis,
that's what I'm saying.
Doing a little bit more.
No, it's probably KD. Yeah. 10 years down. If it's 10 years down the line, is it decade Cunningham?
Hey.
Oh man.
No, that's not. All right. Trey's out of town. I don't want to upset him.
But James, kind of piggybacking off what you said, I have seen the rumblings of this is, you know, everybody's fickle. Anytime someone's in a chance to actually be great, they move up the ranking ladder.
I saw people talking about it. That's why I brought it up.
Giannis is the best player in the world now. And it's like, no, I think he's at the biggest stage, but I don't think he's the best player in the world.
I think he's performing
at a high level, and he's doing it against this team. But then again, you look at it like, yes, if he wins this title, he'll be very decorated at 26.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you. I think for me, what we've talked about is what I always kind of thought Giannis had hit his ceiling. And like what we saw before these playoffs was kind of like what Giannis was. And then to me, like he's taken it, he's risen the ceiling. So I'm kind of just like, maybe the shooting comes. I don't know.
Go ahead, dude. There's a thing that happens, I think, with players, you know, and we watch it happen sometimes where guys start to control their own pace and then they'll start to control the pace of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, like, we've watched kind of
during this playoffs, Giannis's game is changing. Like those threes that were happening early in the playoffs are now pretty much gone. And I think some of that is because of the knee.
Yeah.
But he's for sure. He's fallen into this almost slower speed, especially in the half court. And he's just not running into the brick wall anymore. And yeah. I don't know what clicked for him, but something did. I mean, I've seen this happen with players where they just figure things out, but this is something else.
I think it's the knee.
To happen in the finals is weird.
I think it's the knee.
Right?
I think
like he's just slower, right?
Well, yeah, and he had to simplify everything, right? Like instead of like, all right, now I'm going to try to do this, and this, it's like, yo, my knee hurts.
Well, he's got more than one speed.
Right, exactly. And so I think the knee forced him to play more like a big man. Like he's a center with a handle.
Yep.
That's what he is. Like we've tried to make him like, oh, what if he's a 7-foot point guard and all this shit? No, he's a center. Mm-hmm. Like they just
Giannis
ask him to
no
do other
center,
stuff.
Man.
What?
He's Shaq. He's Shaquille O'Neal, man.
He can do a lot of center things, but what center do you know that just ISOs his man and just goes at him dribble drive?
Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Giannis,
Hakeem Olajuwon,
David Robinson.
Come on, man.
He's
Shaq. He can do a lot of center things, but he's not like just a center.
He's not just a center.
He's a center with a handle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Like, he's a guy that if you give him the ball, he's not going to, like, you know, just kick it out of bounds. But that's not his best offensive skill, right? Like, he's an amazing, like, just absolutely out of this world role man. He's fantastic in the dunker spot. And if you get him on the move in half court,
oh my God, there's nothing you can do.
You can't stop him. Yeah, that guy is he fat? He's like young Shaq, actually. He's fast.
Yeah, he's like
strong.
Orlando Shaq.
Yeah. And it's hard for us to wrap our head around it.
Please shut me up.
Next Tuesday.
We talked about it during a break, but I mean, the Donovan side of it, I think Shaq was looking for a response from Donovan, right?
Please shut me up.
He didn't
Next
get,
Tuesday.
Shaq come from a different school. The way that he comes out and
talks. Did I do you though?
That's the way you did it to me, but
please
I
shut
tore
me
my
up.
Back.
Next
so
Tuesday.
I didn't have a choice.
And I was just testing the temperature. That's all. But everybody, oh, he just, no, man, listen, there ain't nothing personal with me. Trust me, never. There ain't never personal with me.
So what about Rudy, though? That sounds personal to me.
No,
because
saying,
we haven't seen a big man star in a really long time,
right?
Like, Embiid and Jokic actually make more sense to our sensibilities because they are – at least it's a, okay, I see how that guy is still a center.
Yeah, they still
he
move,
looks
they
like
move
the guys
like
that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Right. Giannis is a whole nother thing.
Right.
Because he's, you know, 7 feet tall, but can move like a wing.
Please shut me up.
But he
Next
really is
Tuesday.
Big. And everything about him is a big on offense. And just the fact that he can stand up top in ISO, that's just an extra thing. But I think if they stick to him playing more of this big style like he has been.
I mean, how many big guys do you know that lead the break in transition like he does? Like, How many centers do that?
Draymond Green. 2-5.
Is Ben Simmons just a center?
Oh, sorry. 2-5. My bad.
Please shut me up.
Next Tuesday.
Is 2-5 just a center? Like,
yeah, he's a center. Putting
Giannis,
he
Giannis, putting Giannis in a center box is irresponsible. Putting him in any other box is irresponsible. He's just a totally different player than – really, we've probably ever seen.
No.
Sure.
No,
that's
you
why
know,
they call
you
him
know,
the freak.
You know how I know you're wrong on that, Jay? Is what do you feel every time he takes a jump shot?
I feel like it's going in, man.
No, you
you're full
get
of shit.
Fucking liar.
just like all other two guards.
You get the same feeling that Tony Allen just took a jump shot. Like that's the feeling you get.
It's basically like Klay Thompson.
All right, let's Jesus, I'm so sick of you sometimes, I gotta tell you. All right, let's get a little preview for what is it, Tuesday night is game six, possibly the last game of the season. James, what do you expect to happen Tuesday night?
You keep re-emphasizing that it is Milwaukee, so it's like,
but maybe that doesn't mean anything. Maybe that's a good thing now. I just like, I can't get it in my head. I don't know if I trust them, I don't trust them.
No.
I don't know what to do.
No, but I'm with you because, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier, when they're comfortable is when they're most vulnerable. And it's like, do they have what it takes to, when they have a step ahead, to put their foot on someone's neck? Like, it always seems like when they're at their best is when their back is against the wall and it's time, it's even, it's nut crunching time. Like, it's never when they have sole possession, when they have a chance to end something. And it's like, am I going to get Drew? That I don't even need the Drew we got last night. Can I get 80% of that Drew? I'm kind of trusting Chris at this point. He's just been so good that I think he's just locked in right now. I think Monty, I'm going to give Monty credit. I think he's going to make adjustments, and I think defensively they're going to make adjustments. So it's a cop out, but like I just need to watch. Like I can't. Milwaukee's just been so weird this postseason. As great as they've been, it's just there are reasons to not believe in it until they do it.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes the most sense to me is that they lose game six and then probably win game seven.
That's how I feel.
Right? Like that, yeah. That does feel like a very Milwaukee thing to do. Trey, what do you feel is going to happen Tuesday night?
I mean, I had Suns in six, man, but
it's going to be tough at this point.
I think the ghost of Brandon Jennings is going to show up.
Oh, okay.
He should go to the game.
I didn't hear the news. RIP, Brandon. I didn't know. That's
not in that standpoint. But I seen a meme that had the conceited guy. You know what I mean? The meme where he's like poking his lips out. But no, he predicted. I mean, I think it's great. A great full circle thing for Brandon and the Bucks. You know what I mean? A prophecy that can actually come to life. Yeah, but would also be cool if they brought into the game. You know, I think that would be something great. But I do think that, you know, I know my Phoenix homies aren't going to love this, but I think that the Bucks are going to put them away by double digits.
Wow. Let's go. And funny enough, Brandon Jennings got them Chris Middleton. Shout out to the Pistons.
That's the crazy thing about it. Chris Middleton was the throw-in.
Yeah. Joe D, I heard, tried to get him to take Singler. But they wouldn't do it. They said, no, we'll take Middleton instead of Singler, if you don't mind.
2013.
It's pretty good scouting department there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Shout out to the Pistons.
Yes. Yeah. He was. So that's the crazy thing about it. Chris Middleton was the throw-in.
Yeah. Joe D, I heard, tried to get him to take Singler. But they wouldn't do it. They said, no, we'll take Middleton instead of Singler, if you don't mind.
2013.
Can you imagine if it was
pretty good scouting department there?
The same exact situation, but we're watching Kyle Singler jack up these fourth quarter shots instead of Chris Middleton.
He's still getting a check, too. If Singler had played with Giannis, I think that probably would have been his trajectory.
Whoops.
Is Chris Middleton? Really?
He did make all rookie, Kyle Singler.
What the fuck is happening right now?
People forget Singler was a true.
Okay. Are we just done?
On a more serious note.
You know what? I don't want to hear from you about Tuesday night. Dave, I'm sorry, but that ruined it.
On a more serious note?
We're done. Thank you for subscribing to the Black NBA Show. This has been the BasketBuds Edition. For Jay King, for Kyle Singler, for James Edwards, for Dave DeVore, for Trey.
PJ Medeshar out here.
People forget about Singler. I mean, clearly I wasn't being entirely serious with that.
Whoops.
However,
getting frozen custard. Secondly, it has a little bit of egg yolk in there, about 1.4% in order to emulsify or keep that product nice and smooth. And the third is it's very low overrun, meaning there's not a lot of air in it. So what you get is a beautiful, thick, creamy, dense, fresh ice cream product. And there's no one that does it better in Milwaukee than Cops. So we're going to talk to Kevin inside. He's our main guy. And from the old girl here, we're going to pop inside here.
nearby Wisconsin has lost more than 73,000 jobs since the stimulus was enacted.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.